This is Just a Case and Case in Point, episode 50, a landmark episode. This is going to be our Thanksgiving episode. We've got a small pile of topics to talk about, a fresh pile behind the hutch. You can smell it coming from somewhere, but you really don't, you're not totally sure where that stench is coming from. Well, it's right going in your ears right now. If your ears could smell.
It smells the Case in Point podcast.
Yes, episode 50. We'll call this one Fresh Pile. Okay. So now that's out of the way. We are delinquent podcasters. And so I would like to preemptively, you know, wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving to those that actually observe Thanksgiving. And also, be careful out on the roads. There's a lot of crazy people. A lot of booze out there. And there's a lot of people that are snow-cold sober and can't drive worth crap. Or they're just crazy. So, be safe. And so we're going to get right into it. Ponch, are there any shout-outs you would like to do?
I guess to ourselves.
Yeah, shout-out to ourselves. To us. Yeah.
I mean, other than the usual ones that you shout out to, I mean, McSauce.
Yeah.
Well, Matt. Yeah, I guess the usual guys, so.
Element of Surprise, the Chadwick Suet, the McSauce podcast. We've got, these always slow my mind.
So we start over again?
No, it's fine. No, Ryan McCormick, he's a cool cat. I just did an episode on his podcast not too long ago. Actually, it's been a month already. He's just flying right by. You can catch him over at the Fireside Chat podcast. And hope this finds you well. They're putting out some stuff. I haven't checked them out lately because I'm delinquent on all podcasts. I've not had a lot of time to listen. And I'm way behind on everything. I'm just too busy. And so I really wanted to squeak one of these babies in here, another episode. So you may have noticed, just a quick catch-up, that I have been posting some pictures on Instagram, which I have to get the podcast version of Instagram, but my personal Instagram page, I've been posting a lot of pictures. I recently went to the Inland Northwest Toy Fair, and I got some really cool stuff. An inbox, Rambo Savage Strike Headquarters inbox, right? And the guy I got that from, he actually, there's another, he's one of those guys that's able to go and find, like, factory fresh cases of toys, like, in mass quantities. I don't know how these guys do it, but he knows one of the other more prominent guys on Instagram that's doing this, and I never in a million years thought that I would find one of those place that's in box. And it's just amazing, because the Rambo toy line is something that I did, I had one figure as a kid. I had the cat figure, so it's the Gale with, like, the grapple hook thing, and it's kind of like a, it's like a, she actually wears it like a harness or a backpack or whatever, and then my brother had the, it was like a variant of Rambo where he's got the gun that comes, he's in, like, jeans, and the gun comes over his shoulders, it's like Firepower Rambo, I think, and then he also had, I thought he had that one, and I know he had Turbo. Turbo was one of his guys. Like, that toy line was based off the cartoon series that had come out. It's kind of a weak cartoon, but, you know, it was just something just to plug the toys, you know what I mean? But the toys are great, and so I was able to pick up one of those, and I picked up an actual, it's one of the motorcycles. And the bad guys had all, like, a lot of the, like, the playset was theirs, the motorcycle was theirs, it's got, like, Gatling gun on the back, and it's got Uzis for handlebars, it's kind of funny. But, anyway, real rubber tires, VAC metal rims. I had one as a kid, and I broke it, because I was too rough with my toys. And so, getting one of those back was really cool. And, so, it picked up a ton of stuff. I mean, it, so, I got that, and I picked up a G.I. Joe pit playset, the one that opens up like a tackle box. It's got like three levels, and so I got it's got most of the parts. I got to track down whatever's missing on there, but I think there's like a radar dish and some a couple extra guns. So that'd be cool. Be doing some pictures and posting those on Instagram as well. They had a complete Ewok village, which I should have picked up, and also a complete Death Star playset from the 70s, which would have been really cool. Yeah, so if he's back up there, I've got the guy's information, so I could probably just talk to him. But, you know, this was a separate guy, not the guy I got the Rambo stuff from. But this last run, it was a little, it was a lot different because, like, the guys that were there were like the guys that they were. Most everything that I saw that I was interested in was in box, like sealed.
Wow, that's crazy.
And they had like all the Toy Biz X-Men stuff was there. They had Sky Warriors in box, Captain Power in box, like the. Both the white handheld aircraft, the fighter, and then it had the bad guys, the black it's like that black whatever his vehicle whatever it was, and then so they had some of those in box. They had Air Raiders in box, which are like they was a really small toy line that had everything was like powered by like a it's got like a air bladder that you'd push down and it would shoot off the pegs.
Oh, I think I remember those.
Yeah, my brother had like a big, like one of the bigger craft. He got it at a birthday party or something that we had at McDonald's, I think, or someone got it for him. It must have been my mom, but because it was a fairly large vehicle. But at any rate, there was a lot of things that were like there was so much to take in and so many different kinds of things that your mind is just your brain's oatmeal after 4 hours. You're just like, I can't even think. So what happened was, we got out to the car, and we already had a bunch of cool stuff. And, like, I was thinking, you know, if I don't go back and get that playset, I'm never going to get it, you know. And, dude, my wife's like, do you want to go and do it? You want to go back in? And I'm thinking, well, if I'm going to do it, I better do it now, because they were literally closing. I had literally 3 minutes to go buy the thing. Because when they had it over at the Spokane Convention Center, and when they're packing up, man, it's like you better pack up because like you're out, you know. And so the guy was like, I went in there and I kind of wheeled a deal with him real quickly. I said like, hey, listen, I'll buy a bunch of Shopkins off you. Let's bundle it together and let's work out a little bit. And so we were able to do that. And I bought three. They had like the Rambo line had these accessory packs for like 50 cals. It had, like, ammo boxes and stuff, so it'd be on, like, a tripod and be like, bah, 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 you know, if you're, like, you know, almost like an anti-tank type guns and that kind of thing is really cool. So, anyway, I was able to pick that up, and I got like, a Klingon Bird of Prey, a Corgi, that's a company that used to make die-cast toys. I think they're still around, but I had one that was, like, a Micro Machines version or whatever it was. It was the, Galoob version that broke, and so I got this one. This one is almost an exact copy of it, and there was a lot of Star Trek stuff up there, and I didn't spring on any of that because I love the Playmate stuff, but the money for what they were asking, it's not. You shouldn't pay more than $3 a piece for carded Star Trek Playmates figures. They just aren't. They're not valuable. They're just really cool. As if you're a Star Trek fan, especially like I like all generations of Star Trek, and like it's grown on me. Like originally, you know, I was only into a couple of the shows like DS9 and TNG, but the other ones have grown on me as I've, you know, over the years as I've watched them all. And so they had a lot of that there, and I got some wrestlers. They had like loose wrestlers that were really nice, like the Jack Specifics ones. Jack Specific was really good. So we got some of that stuff, and my wife like vintage Shopkins. Mm-hmm. Or no, was it Littlest Pet Shop? That's what it was. This stuff's in box. I mean, it's like you're going back in time 25, 30 years, and it's in box. Yeah. You know, and that was the majority of the toy show was in box vintage toys. They had a Dark Knight collection. They had like the Batmobile, the really nice one with the full cockpit, with the machine guns that come out of the top. They had all the stuff in box, and the boxes are pristine. And I was like talking to my brother and stuff, and somehow we zigzagged, and either I forgot to call him back or he didn't call me back. I don't remember, but it was like He's like, oh, I should have had you get that for me. Because they wanted, like, I mean, this stuff was not cheap. Don't get me wrong, you know. But, and that's why, like, when I go into this stuff, it's like, well, they had a lot of cool stuff, like this Toy Biz X-Men stuff on card, you know. You know, for, like, $10 a piece, $15 each. And if you got a whole set of them, I'm sure they'd cut you a deal, you know. Mm-hmm. Knock off 10% or whatever. So, 10 or 15% or whatever. But so it was like, it was a lot of fun and it was cool. I being able to, the last time I was there, I actually got a Talking Kenner Knight Rider kit. Like where you press the license plate down and he talks. He's got a little record play in the back, you know. But anyway, so I walked away with some cool vintage stuff and the kids had a great time. My wife got a bunch of cool stuff and it's just fun going up to Spokane. So, that's cool. The next one's going to be in May. They do it twice a year, so that's kind of what we're doing. But anyway, that's kind of by the by. This episode is about Thanksgiving. It's about eating food, and that's what people like to do. Just, you know, I think it's pretty apparent at this point in time in this country. And take that however you want. But I'm not Jack LaLanne, so, you know, hey. So, we just bought an air fryer. In fact, we just tried it out, and we put some French fries in there. Ooh, that was amazing. I really enjoyed that a lot. No oil at all.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had anything air-dried. I've seen stuff about it. I've heard about it, but I never had anything yet, so I wouldn't mind trying that out at some point.
Yeah, we're gonna cut up potatoes and put them in there.
That's cool.
So, it's got like a little metal screen thing, and the heat comes up. It's like a vortex that goes in there. So, like, all of it gets cooked, like, all the way around. So
I see.
They can't see this, but I'm doing this motion with my hands. I look like a conductor, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You're conducting the circulating air to cook the fries.
Yeah, oh, yes. And so, they give us, it came with a cookbook or whatever, so. But, yeah, that's what we're doing, and, it's so, yeah, the weather's probably going to get nasty here, too. We're supposed to get snow. It'll be a high of, like, 29 degrees on Wednesday, or on Thursday, wow. Thanksgiving. Here, in the desert, in the high desert, it's going to be 29 degrees and snow. So, but the weather's changing. It's changing everywhere. And
today, we've been getting, like, gross fall rain, like, drizzle and...
Yeah,
all dark and poopy and blech.
Yeah, it was the wind was fierce here last night. It woke me up a few times. It was like, oh, I'm like, oh, what the frick is going on? You know, so. But it's funny because I'll sleep with like my head between pillows. Because I like feeling like I'm encased, and I have a 20-pound blanket, and it was like, this is awesome. I said, I feel like Thanos, this is what Thanos would sleep with, a 20-pound blanket, you know. But it helps, it keeps you warm, that's for sure. I love it. It's great.
It's like your body gets a workout when you fall asleep.
Pretty much, yeah. And so, I mean, if you try to pick the whole thing up at once, it's like you're lifting a, you know, a 12-year-old kid or something, you know. So, but it's like, I don't know. So it's cool. But yeah, so I'm excited about Thanksgiving this year. We bought a couple of those Power Up arcade machines, and we bought the Final Fight one, and we got the Turtles in Time Turtles one, and it's got
awesome.
It's got the four players.
I love that game.
Yeah, it's pretty surreal to have it in like in your house, you know. So, but I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, if I saw that game and put in like over in like a, you know, like an arcade or like somewhere like a laundromat, like which they don't really do a whole lot anymore. But I'd play it still. I'd put quarters in and start playing it, you know, because it doesn't matter. But it's like, well, after all the arcades and stuff, they're starting to go away. At least around here, we don't have any, unless you go to Chuck E. Cheese and pay $85 to play ticket games. It's about the closest you're gonna get. But they used to have one in the mall here. They closed it down. Which it kind of sucked anyway. They do have one thing in our mall here. It's like you pay for like a certain amount of time to play video games, but you sit and it's not like you're playing like arcade games. It's like you're playing I guess console games or something, but
is it like an emulator or something, or
no? It's like you could do like birthday parties and overnight video game parties there, and you go in there and it's like all dark. There's no lights on or anything. It's just the backdrop of the. They got like a really really limited ambient light where the cash register is, but it's like a lot of it's just the backlit screens that you can see, you know. But so my whole thing was like, you know what? I'm in Walmart there, and I'm like, you know what? I want to buy a couple of these things. You know, I'm like, there's no arcades left. I think it'd be a lot of fun. They're not as big as like the old arcade games, but I got them for Thanksgiving because we always host a lot of people, so 15 to 20 on average. So I got a pretty good sized house, so it's not really a big deal. And, in fact, I got them in the living room. It's awesome, you know. So, it's great. So, we're all poised for that, and I do a fair amount of the cooking, so my in-laws bring the turkey, but what are you going to do for Thanksgiving, Ponch?
I don't remember how long I've been doing it, but usually I'll do the turkey. Basically, like years ago, my mom, she used to do it, but she had issues with, medical issues with her back and stuff. So after that, I took over the turkey duties, asked her how she made hers, and I started initially making it the way she did. But then I started making tweaks to it where, now I'd say for the past at least five years, so usually I'll buy my turkey either on Saturday or today before Thanksgiving, and I'll let it thaw out until Tuesday. And Tuesday is when I season it and let it marinate from Tuesday to Thursday morning. And then Thursday morning I'll make I'll weave some like bacon together, and I wrap bacon, and then I bake it. So
yeah, I forgot you told me you wrap it in bacon. That's awesome.
Oh yeah. And what was great is I'll usually make punctures, like deep holes inside the chicken breast and like the deep parts of the chicken thigh, and I stuff that with butter, and then I season, like I pull the skin off, season on top of the meat, then put the skin back on, season that even more, and then that's what I do Tuesday. I let that marinate, and Thursday I put a little bit more butter on the outside of the skin so that the bacon can sort of stick onto the rest of the turkey a little better, and then yeah, and then I cook it for however long it needs to cook and baste it every half hour. But I'm making a turkey. I make a potato salad based on my grandmother's recipe. I make that too. This year I'm considering doing baking some mac and cheese, but doing some sort of like four cheese thing, and also maybe taking some of the bacon from the turkey and putting that in there.
It'll bind you up.
And then my mom, she'll come over and she'll make, you know, some like Spanish, right, like Puerto Rican rice and beans. Then a friend of mine will be coming over too. I think he's gonna be bringing like snacks and stuff, so like nothing insanely extravagant, because I don't have like a ton of people coming over. Probably like I'll maybe have like five or six people over, but
that's a pretty good flip, man. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't mind that. As long as I'm spending it with good company, I don't care if it's two people or two. But
Are these people that like have gotten together like all in one place before, or like are these friends you're like, hey, come on over, and it's like, or they all know each other, right?
Well, it's friends like myself, my mom, and then my
Nice.
A friend of mine that I've, like, after I graduated from college, I moved down here to live with my mom, and I've known him since I moved down after college, so.
Oh, you know, cool. Him
and his wife, and then a friend of ours, so it's like, you know, six of us. So, yeah, this isn't the first time we've gotten together for Thanksgiving, so. But, yeah, it'll be a lot of food, a lot of football, maybe a lot of
some. And a lot of gas.
Oh, yeah. Got that
spam. And it's let her rip, baby. Yeah. So that's cool.
It's gonna be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. And then Friday, I don't. Fortunately, I don't work, So that'll be the recovery day, because Thursday is just usually packed. Because even like as I'm cooking, I'm also cleaning my apartment, getting it ready for guests. So it's a busy day. Or even like Tuesday, prepping the turkey, and then Wednesday is when I usually get the ingredients ready for the potato salad and stuff. So. And it's a little less this year because like this past Friday was my mom's birthday, and normally Thanksgiving is like the third Thursday of the month, but for some reason it's on the last week of the month. So sometimes my mom's birthday overlaps Thanksgiving, so a lot of times I'll have to make a birthday cake along with everything else that I'm making. But since Thanksgiving is the way it's scheduled this year, that's one less thing for me to do. I already did the birthday stuff today, so.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, man. So yeah, what do you do? You guys do a similar thing where you guys just make food and have people come over and eat?
Yeah, yeah. We have like a we have a separate table just for pie. It's like, I tell you, man. It's like. When people come over to see the pie table, it's funny because they almost act like, well, I guess I have to eat this normal food, but that pie table, that's got my name on it. I'm not gonna get left out. And so it was like, it's funny. And the older ladies are like, they're like, pie is their thing, and like cookies and stuff, right? But like, so we have like a cherry pie, pumpkin pie, pecan pie, apple pie. My brother-in-law makes two different types of apple pie. Oh, it's crazy. It's so good. And then we have like this, like one of those little mini crock pots full of little red, those little smokies and barbecue sauce. I mean, you want to get your nitrates in, that's the way to do it. And so I can't eat those. I think I'm allergic to them because I'll just like get really nauseous and stuff. So I can't eat those. So, but it was like, these days, I try to just get a little bit of everything, mm-hmm. because I don't like leftovers, though. I cannot eat leftovers. Really? I can't do it. I can do mashed potatoes. I can do leftovers of that, just get them nice and hot, But I need to eat stuff like stuffing. I like my stuffing a little dry. I don't want it like a pate, okay? And I usually cut the turkey. The turkey comes to the house. My in-laws cook the turkey, but I'm the one that cuts it because it's my place. That's just what you do.
Right.
And my kitchen's great. I mean, it's got a center island. It's really spacious. So it's really easy to make stuff at this place. My old house, the kitchen was like one of those ones where it's like you've got one aisle, but then you got your fridge and the cabinets hang from the ceiling. And then it has like a little like ledge underneath where you could put stuff, and I hated it. And so I said, the next place we get, we'll have it built, and then we'll just make sure there's an island, with a lot of room, And so, I hosted Thanksgiving at my place every year since 2006, mm-hmm. It worked out great. I mean, my old house, that was a neat house, but. This one's definitely more conducive to, like, parties and stuff. Mm-hmm. And having, like, because it's all open. I mean, it's huge. And so we took out one of the, we had to leave out a wall where the formal dining room was. And now it's all open. And there's, like, a bit, it looks like, it just, it's great. There's no, like, nobody's cramped. No one's like, hey, let me move my knee so you can bend over, Mm-hmm. It's nothing like that. So, so it's cool. But, like, yeah, I mean, we do, my wife makes a green bean casserole. I do like these modified sweet potatoes, and I put like brown sugar, pecans, and orange juice. I make like this candy sauce, and I put pecans in it, and I dump it on the top of the sweet potatoes, and like there's orange juice and rinds mixed into the sweet potatoes themselves, so it just boosts like that citrus, And like my wife's aunt's like, oh, I love these things. It's like, she's like, I eat these. She goes, I need to tell you, I eat these for breakfast. I love these things. And she every year I hear the same story, and it's like, yeah, I know you're a fan. you know, it's cool. But and so but it's really great that, you know, people are like, these mashed potatoes are amazing, because I make really good mashed potatoes because I used to work at a restaurant. So I used a lot of that recipe knowledge to do my own stuff for much smaller numbers, mind you, because anytime that you're like cooking for restaurant size, the yield, you can't just double the recipe. You have to still balance it out, and you have to taste test things. And I do every step of the way. I'm checking everything, and a lot of it you're adding salt or milk or butter to taste. You know, you have to just tweak it, like, you know that. So that's what I do. And yeah, that pie table, I tell you, man, better be worn some sweatpants, because get some of those khaki pants with elastic on the sides that hides under the belt for that seasonal weight gain. So, but we don't, you know, I don't watch football. I don't like football. I think the NFL's stupid. I don't care for it. And too much controversy, and it was boring anyway. So I'd rather, like, play football myself than watch someone else doing it. I'm not a vicarious liver of football. So, and I'm not on the payroll. I don't refer to a team as, we scored a touchdown. What's this we business? You're not on the team. They're not paying you. You know, what is that crap?
Well, that is true. That is true.
It is true. Well, I like to collect football cards. You know, I've still got my wild card Jerome Bettis rookie card, you know, from 1990 or whatever it was.
Oh, you better put that away, man.
Those things aren't worth squat now. The football cards are.
It sucks because I want to get back into collecting, like, football and baseball, but it's different now, man. Like, I think the last time I bought a new box of cards was probably 2015 or 16. Yeah, it's probably 15 because with football, Topps, well, Panini now is the exclusive card maker for football. Topps
lost, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Topps stick lost company.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Those old paper stickers.
Yeah, they're pretty legit card company now. But
oh, that's crazy.
Baseball. Well, the Topps lost the football license back in 2014, I think. So now it's just Panini cards, and yeah, it just seems like whereas, like, in the 90s, you had all these gimmicks of, like, crazy foils and flashy stuff and just, like, it was crazy gimmicks, but they're fun gimmicks. Now it's just the same thing over and over again, where it's like, you know, like, the only difference now between, like, some of the designs of cards is just cost and thickness of the cards. Because, like, you'll have, and there's, like, they may seem to be, like, a wide variety of, like, pricing for cards, but essentially they're not, there's nothing really, there's very few options as far as, like, kid-friendly stuff. It mostly caters to, like, you know, like, hit collectors, where before you used to be able to buy a pack, like, box of cards where having were between 24 and 36 packs, whereas now, like, a budget box may have 8 to 12 packs, and, like, higher end stuff is like a one pack box. And yeah, what's the
point of buying a box if it has one pack of cards in it? Just buy the pack of cards.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. Like, a lot of times when you buy those type of expensive boxes, you're not even buying boxes, like packs and like cards, you're just buying hits. And like the,
it sounds like a freaking drug deal.
Seems more like gambling to me. Like, yeah. The entry cost, if you're expecting like a huge hit, the entry cost is like high, and unless you like are super lucky when you get like a one pack and you get like a one pack box, you get something super expensive.
They're not trading cards anymore; they're hit cards.
Just about, yeah. And like for you to get like proper, like if you want to build a set, that's considered like lower end, and it's not as the likelihood of you getting something like valuable from there is like less likely than if you spend like a ton of money on more expensive boxes, but then
That's what killed the business, though. I mean, it's like, you know, that's stupid. At least comic books are still comic books.
Right. Jeez.
Anyway,
I still collect stuff, but it's more like single cards on like eBay or whatever. So, or like sometimes if I find a good deal, I'll find like a super cheap box of cards from like when we were collecting back in like the mid to late 90s for like super cheap. And it's funny because like I'll open a box, and this has happened, like I don't do it often, but I'd say I buy one of those boxes, like now it's vintage apparently or retro or whatever. And I'll buy one of those boxes maybe like once every 2 or 3 months just to see. Hey, let's see. I couldn't afford these when I was a kid, but now I can because they're mad cheap. So, and a lot of times I'll pull cards like a Heath Shuler rookie card. And it's like, man, if I had this when I was a kid, I would have been like the top kid in the school and stuff. Or like,
don't forget Trent Dilfer.
Hey. Oh, of course, man. Or like. Was it
Todd Maranovich? He threw laces out.
Oh, I don't remember.
He didn't throw. Well, I remember he didn't because he threw the ball without the laces.
He
used the bald side of the ball, so I always threw the football like that.
Oh, weird. Or like Ryan Leaf.
Oh, what a crybaby!
The biggest bust in NFL history.
Yeah, he'll freak out and embarrass himself in the locker room by like yelling at him. Throwing a fit with the reporters, yeah, I remember that. But top round pick, what do you call it? First round.
Yeah, he was the number one top pick that year.
Yeah,
and Manning was second or third.
Well, he went on to have a wonderful career.
Oh yeah,
but he did when he fumbled when he fumbled the ball at the Super Bowl 1 year. It's kind of funny. He's like that. He's like that was funny. Probably not the time for him, but probably in retrospect, you know. But, yeah, that's cool. Because I think I don't know. I might watch. I'm not going to. I'm not. If the NFL wasn't embroiled in all this, like, BS, I would probably watch it. But they're not going to get my viewership because I'm like, let's just watch the game and have a good time. And, you know, I just, I don't like the crap that's going on. So, so what we do for Thanksgiving activities, let's segue to the fun and games part.
We sing and clap and we play charades.
And play charades, yes. That's the Captain Picard pronunciation. I've had enough of the charade. I like the way he yells. I can't sound like Patrick Stewart, but he's just like, you know, but
yeah, it seems like when he yells, he's about to have a heart attack.
Because he's a soft-spoken guy, it probably strains his vocal cords.
Which makes me wonder, like, if he's gonna yell in the new Picard show, like if it's the same as it was when he was in Next Gen.
Yeah, there are four lights.
Yeah.
Get off of my bridge! Get off my bridge! Oh, that's great.
Oh, great.
That's great.
So your activities?
Yeah, so my activities. We have... Usually what we do for, like, New Year's Eve is, like, we'll have people over for New Year's Eve, but I now have all the expansions for Fireball Island. And... They did a reissue of Fireball Island, but it's bigger and better and has, you know, it's awesome, the detail and stuff. Because I looked into the vintage Fireball Island. For those of you who aren't aware, it was a game in the 80s that, I think it was it Milton Bradley was the company that came out with it. And when I was a kid, I saw it, you know, and I was just like, wow, this is amazing, you know. And it's all kind of like a gravity thing. It's got marbles and it's got bridges that can get knocked out. And the character, you know, has, like, you're a tourist, and you gotta, like, you know, you collect treasures and stuff, and try not to get the curse of, it's Volcar is the name of the angry volcano and stuff. So we got that with all the expansions that have come out thus far. And, so that'll be fun to get that going, because I have, like, there's one that's called Crouching Tiger, Killer Bees. There's one where it's got, like, Snake Island or something like that. Then there's one that was the Wreck of the Cutlass, which is a ship that sits off the side of the game pack. We got the Black Widow biker gang going riding through my single road of my my development right now, which never happens. But anyway, let's see. It's just one motorcycle, but it's just enough to be annoying. Anyway, motorcycles are stupid. Anyway,
on my way home this morning, this afternoon, there was some dude like a hoopty Honda car from like the 90s, like spinning his back tires, trying to act cool. It's like, yeah,
go with tires. Probably don't have any tread left on them. Yeah, it's easy to do burnouts when you have no tread on your tires when they're bald.
So stupid.
Or when it hits the rocks, it goes like that, you know.
Yeah. Oh, there was one time this idiot, he had like another, like a similar type of car, and every so often, I don't know if this happens often where you live at, but here, like, not on the street that I live in, but I hear it in the background. But there's a bigger road close by where, like, especially later at night, you hear like dudes trying to, like, you know, the road races and stuff. But every once in a while, you can hear like crappy cars trying to, like, just like spin the tires before, like, they drive off. And there's one time I heard this guy, and then I hear, "Pah!" And it sounds for like a second, and then you hear a sound where like the rims are like riding on the road, and you hear like a caw, 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 like a cam rolling.
He blew his tire out.
Yeah, it was great. And then I looked.
And you want to know why? Because his tires are bald. He finally hit a bad spot, and pop. He's down to the freaking rims. There's sparks flying off the road. He's got to get home that way.
Yeah, it was great.
That's ultimate payback.
It's like, serves you right, you idiot.
Yeah, or it's like, you see these Geo four-cylinder cars with no hubcaps, you know, because they don't have alloy rims. They're just the cheap ones. And you'll see, like, pretty trash people going, and they're like, cars going dee 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 dee
dee. Yeah, you have those here too.
It's all those misfires because they're too cheap to get good spark plugs and an oil change. Good enough, you know. It was like they got like they'll have four. I've seen one. I saw one with four donut wheels on it.
Wow.
You're not supposed to drive with those. They're not regular tires. It's a 50-50 rule, man. You're supposed to just use it to get home. Or to a service station to get another tire or whatever. It's like the 50-50 rule. For those of you who aren't aware, for donut wheels, okay? Don't go further than 50 miles an hour. Don't exceed 50 miles an hour. Do they listen? Of course not.
Oh, my goodness.
You see some dirtbags got four free donut wheels. They think they got the deal of the year, you know?
Yeah.
I got these real cheap. I didn't pay nothing. You know.
Wait till you see what I can do with these on the road.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we got a lot of low riders around here. And so it's like, but they aren't like the cool low riders that you'd see at like a car show or something. These are like, okay, I got like this 87 Buick, and it's Buick Skylark, and it's, you know, it's not like a 64 Impala with like a beautiful paint job and, you know, this is just like, oh, I got this on Craigslist kind of thing, you know. And so it's, yeah. So it's not
like that from a DIY project that went bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They get far enough. Like, well, it'll get me point A to point B, you know.
Yeah, that stuff grabs you out, man.
Oh, I know. And so, but anyway, I think I'm going to get one of those new, just as a side tangent here real quick, it's not very Thanksgiving related, but I'm going to get one of those new Tesla Cybertrucks.
You've got to be kidding me, man.
I want to buy one of those. I want the dual engines, man.
And this is the end of the podcast, everybody.
Hey, it looks like something off Star Trek. I like it.
It looks like something you see in the background from like Final Fantasy VII PS1.
I'm okay days. With that. I like the game.
Oh, good. I mean the stuff under the hood sounds cool, but oh my goodness, man, what? It's funny because.
Well, I want to see how it ends up playing out, because right now you can get it. You could put $100 down to reserve a spot. And I'm not one of those people. I want to see what it does first, or if it even makes it into production. Because they said that if you you can back out up until the day it ships.
Wow, well, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. So I looked at the specs on this thing, just a little side thing here. So if you get the mid-level, that's 49,000, okay? It's 50,000 bucks, okay? And it's got two engines, dual motors. I think it's one in front, one in back, right? It's how the powertrain's set up. That's pretty cool. And the battery range for that level is 350-plus miles. And you can charge it at your house, or you can use any of the charging stations. So, cool, you can go home, plug it in overnight, you're good to go. And if you're just driving it around here, that's fine, because, you know, my work's like 30 minutes away, you know. So, piece of cake. We never really go further anywhere, you know, we don't, like, go, like, cross-country or anything. We usually fly if we're going somewhere like that. But, I mean, heck, Portland... Heck, it's only a few hours away. Spokane's only a few hours away. You know, so no big deal. It'd be a lot of fun. I like the fact that it's got the, it's made out of the stainless steel. I want the stainless steel model. And they need to get that glass fixed because they are trying to demonstrate. You saw what happened.
Yeah.
the guy had the nerve to ask Elon Musk, he goes, can I do the other one? And he's like, okay, go ahead, but don't go through it. Like that.
I like that thud it makes.
Yeah. And the guy goes, he did it like a shot put when he was throwing the little, it was like a ball bearing, probably the size of an orange or maybe a tennis ball. And he just goes, gawk, like that. He didn't want to, either someone's fired or, you know, the glass didn't shatter, but he goes, you know, he said that didn't happen during testing. Yes. So I'm like, someone put the wrong glass in this thing. They must have put in the intermediate stuff where they got it close, but not. It's shatterproof, but it's not unbreakable. So I thought that was. I'd be embarrassed, but the guy he was a trooper and he just kept rolling with it. You know, they have like 159,000 reservations in the first 2 days after seeing that presentation.
That's insane.
People are just eating it up. I mean. That's a lot of vehicles, people. Think about it. 159,000 units? That's crazy. I know in the old days, if you looked at production numbers from GM, you're looking at they produce 3,000 units, 5,000, you know, 5,000 or whatever if it was like a base model, you know. And typically their upper tiers, it go down a little bit because people don't want to spend the extra money, but that just blew my mind. But I want to see how it falls out. I fell in love with the design when I saw it. I was just like, I'd love to have one of these things. Go ahead, laugh. I don't care.
Oh, man.
I'm my own bird. But
yeah, you're definitely a unique individual, man.
Hey, that's what makes me great. It's the magic that is me. But, yeah. My so. Goodness. Anyway, that's a side tangent from Thanksgiving. So, yeah, that's what we're going to do. And we got a new movie theater opening up near here. It's only a few minutes away. That'll be nice. I don't know what we're going to go watch yet. Obviously, Star Wars. It's actually open now. It's got reclining seats, leather seats, electric. And you can get, like, full range of food and stuff. People can get booze if they want to. And, so it'll be pretty nice, but it's got like that, it's got that sound, it's got the, what's that type of sound in the theater? It's the, Atmos, it's got that Atmos surround sound.
Dolby Atmos, or Atmos,
whatever. Yeah, Atmos, yeah, it's got that, so, and this might even be, a little more enhanced, because they're on, like, they use the most current stuff, so, because it's pretty high-end, like, because over, or like, where I'm at, I mean, where I'm at, it's a pretty high-end neighborhood, so it's meant for that. So people got the coin, so.
No riffraff.
Well, everyone's welcome if you can afford it, you know. I mean, it's kind of one of those deals, I guess, but I'm just a regular schmo. But anyway, so yeah, that'll be not a lot of fun, but are there any, do you, Ponch, now, do you... actually have like any like a movie or any shows that you're like every Thanksgiving this is what I'm gonna watch, like Planes, Trains, Automobiles, or do you do any Christmas movies like preemptive, like where you say like it's Thanksgiving now I can start like enjoying the build up to Christmas? Do you do anything like that?
Well, I mean, like I said before, it's usually football on Thanksgiving, and a lot of times, like especially when I have people over, it's more like the football's on in the background, and we just kind of like rip and goof on each other and just have a good time. Except for the Cowboy game, like I make everybody shut up for the Cowboy game. So
shut up or get out.
Leave Go the eat food more food. Here.
Yeah,
but yeah, usually it's just background noise a lot of times. But as far as like Christmas stuff. There's not something that like there's nothing ritualistic that I watch Christmas wise. It's more like Christmas stories on, then I'll watch that. Or like I do try to go out of my way to watch Elf because I love that movie. But it's not TV related. It's more music related. I do try to go out of my way to listen to Trans-Siberian Orchestra at least once or twice before Christmas comes around. Especially the, I think the Lost Christmas, where the album that has the Wizards in Winter song, you know, the Wong Dao is popularized by Heineken with the synchronized house. The lights are synchronized with the song, the music.
Yeah, I have all their albums. I've got them all.
Yeah, so the one album that has the snow globe on the cover, I think that's
There's Lost Christmas Eve. There's Christmas Attic. That one's really good too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but for some reason,
what's that?
Yeah, for some reason, I always gravitate towards a Lost Christmas Eve because it just seems like it has really good songs. It's overall, it has a pretty good package compared to the other albums, to me at least. So I have to listen to that.
Every album's got some stuff that is it's got some cool gems on it. Every album's got at least some really solid stuff. Unfortunately, I don't know if they're gonna put out any new albums. I mean, because I think they're on Lava Records right now. That's an offshoot, I think, of Mercury, maybe. I don't remember. I'd have to look it up. But anyway, the artist that they have doing those is like amazing, especially the last two releases they had over the last several years. They've got that one where it's got that lady with the long hair, the long white hair. I don't have it in front of me, so I couldn't tell you.
I could be wrong, but I want to say the Lost Christmas Eve. I think the Hildebrand brothers painted that. You know, like the comic book painters.
Okay.
So I don't remember if they did all of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra album covers, but
not historically, no.
Okay.
Well, I know. See, here's the deal. For people who don't know or maybe don't really care, I'm going to tell you anyway. Is the Trans-Siberian Orchestra had to start with Sabotage, which is a metal band. And they had the Oliva brothers in it, Chris Oliva and John Oliva. One of them passed away. It was John Oliva passed away. I think he had, he got sick and had like leukemia or something and passed away. I don't know what happened, but he died really young. But they kind of started Sabotage. And then what happened was Sabotage used a lot of orchestrations in their music. And then it turned into like, you know, we could, they started doing Christmas Eve in Sarajevo was, and the Nutcracker was like adaptations of that. That's where it all kind of started. And it was an album that came out in, was it like 93, 94, something like that? And then they started, like, hey, they have different members, right? And because the tour groups got so big, they've got different members. Like, this group did Sabotage. Like, Paul O'Neill was the guy. He was the guy that, like ran everything. He passed away a couple few years ago, and he was like the main driver with Trans-Siberian Orchestra. He was a piano player and producer and stuff and brilliant songwriter and everything. And yeah, I think Paul O'Neill, I thought he was the bass player for Sabotage for a while there. And then he kind of morphed into more of a songwriter or like master of the group kind of thing and got that whole side branch going. I mean, so you've still got, like, you got younger people doing, Mannheim Steamroller, and then like TSO, you know. So it's that's kind of where it's at now. I don't know if they've, I haven't checked, but if they're doing any new albums or anything, you know. And I was gonna actually see if there was a way that that they were gonna do another one, but with the main guy gone, I'm not sure how that's gonna work out. But yeah, we get into that. We put up our Christmas tree, like. Actually, I think it's like Thanksgiving night we put it up. And so we have like all those interactive Star Wars ornaments and stuff. We even have the freaking tree mat with the lightsaber battle between Luke and Vader.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and so it's pretty neat. The Death Star tree topper. That thing's amazing, you know.
That's pretty neat. And,
so it's like... I was gonna see here if they're gonna if they put on any new stuff, but like Plants vs. Automobiles is a cool movie to watch. Another one which is kind of cool for Thanksgiving would be Dutch. Dutch is another one with Ed O'Neill. That one's pretty good. I love that movie. It's kind of cool. It's got a great story to it, and that one's good. And I'm trying to think of like other like Thanksgiving-ish movies. Those are the two big ones that pop up for me, and I'm trying to think what other films are there. I mean, because it's like I like doing. See, I consider Lord of the Rings kind of like something like last year. We watched all of the. I have all the like the Blu-ray sets for like The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. I have those, and we watch those. That's like our thing for, because it's like a Thanksgiving thing. We kind of just started, and because it's colder outside, and they're just cool stories to read, you know, and have the atmosphere described in the books and everything, and be able to watch it and everything, and it's just a cool like get the freaking fireplace going and just watch freaking Lord of the Rings, and you know, it's awesome. I love that stuff, and you don't think about anything else but like just hanging out, you know.
Right.
And that's a wonderful thing. So, but of course there's all the Black Friday deals, Ponch.
Oh goodness, yeah.
It's all online now. Like I tried to get that they released the Mandalorian like figure, so my wife actually reserved that for me. It's on Amazon and it's exclusive. Mm-hmm. It's coming out on November 24th, it's scheduled to be released. But then they... I can't say anything. Let's just say this. There is a Black Series figure coming out that has... He's another guy, and I was going to go order him, and he was a Best Buy exclusive, .com exclusive. Sold out already.
Wow.
But what I did manage to pick up, it was at Disneyland... It was like a Disneyland Park exclusive. It was the Sandcrawler for the Jawas.
Oh, wow.
And it's huge. It's bigger than the Hasbro one. It's a lot better. I did a comparison when I was looking at it. And it's massive. It's got lights and sounds. It's got a crane that comes out and picks up droids. And it's got like a motorized... It's got a motorized elevator in it that picks the droid up and puts it inside. And then Yeah, you open up the side panel, and there's a huge deck in there, and there's like tons of room to put like different deals. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put LEDs in there, so you can do like dioramas and stuff. It'd be so cool. Yeah, but
yeah, it's not too hard to do that either with the LEDs.
Not now, no. And you can pick up a decent LED kit. I was trying to look and see if you could find them where you can cut them to length and then do it.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
They have these strips. I was gonna. I'm considering my night. Well, so one of my at least one of my costumes for next year to include LEDs in them. But there's different types. You can get like individual bulbs and solder them yourselves. But there's also, I guess, more common are the strips where there's variations of them. But the common thing with these strips is that there's like designated areas where if you want to cut them in length. It tells you, okay, cut here, and you know, you can cut it to like certain sizes, but yeah, you have that, so that's more like in, you know, strip lengths, and it has like power source array connected to it and stuff. So that one's probably the easiest one to get or to mess with. But like
Right.
individual things, you're better off like getting like actual bulbs, and if you know a little soldering, like basic
Oh yeah, it's
electrical
easy.
wiring stuff, then that's
Yeah.
easy too.
Yeah, once you get the hang of it, you know. And
Oh yeah.
for
Yeah,
those of you know, it's important when you solder stuff, make sure you have an iron that's not turned up so high it vaporizes the solder before it hits
Well,
the point.
that's because you have crappy soldering, so the iron at least.
Well, yeah, because it's like you have to have something that's adjustable, you know. Unless you
Yeah.
get really thick solder that's not going to burn off. But I thought there was something wrong with my skills because I had one where it wasn't adjustable. My father-in-law gave it to me. It's like, I'm thinking, yeah, there's a reason he gave it to me because it's garbage.
Because he
So
didn't want it for
I
himself.
went and I bought one from Radio Shack when they were still in business. I got it so hot that the tips melted off of it.
That's great.
Yeah,
Oh,
so I thought that was garbage.
I did learn this tip that if you're afraid of like your soldering ends being too weak, you can strengthen them by putting hot glue over it. Like if it's like a contact point with like an actual bulb,
Oh,
like
nice.
you like for the lines itself, you can get like that heat shrink cover that you can do that shrink it over like connecting points on the wiring line itself. But when you're like on like say if you have a board that you have like doing crazy light effects to, or just like even on the bulb itself, you just
Yeah.
put some hot glue over and cover it, and it does a really good job like keeping it from breaking and bending and stuff. So
That's
but
cool.
yeah, either way, take pictures once you get the diorama set up. That'd be neat to see.
Yeah, that'd be great. I got some pretty big plans. So our USS flag is still in the works. So,
Oh man, I'd love to get that. Some
well,
that's
just
great.
re-release the freaking thing. Do a crowdfund. I said something on their Twitter. I said, "Hey, Hasbro Labs, when's that? What's next here?" I would have done the Unicron if I wasn't getting the Snake Mountain.
Yeah.
So that would have been great. I could have done the Java sail barge, but I just didn't see it. I wasn't feeling it. I was not feeling it. I still don't feel it. And I do have like the smaller one that like when you watch like Return of the Jedi, they're on the other side where like Han and Chewie they're on like the walk on the plank essentially, and they're hovering near the Sarlacc pit. I have that one,
Okay. Oh, that's
but.
neat.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then I picked up the just recently here a few weeks ago. I was at a Walmart near what is the name of that place? It's near the Blue Mountains anyway. It's kind of a logging town, but I picked up Jabba's Palace, which is cool. So it's the carbonite section of Jabba's Palace.
Okay.
So you have carbonite in the wall and then it's got the two parts that fold around. It's pretty cool. So I picked up that play set. So I'm still getting some Star Wars stuff, but only if I like it, But
Yeah, me
a
too.
lot of the stuff Hasbro's doling out is pretty cheap. It's like garbage. Unless you get Black Series stuff, it's not worth your time. It's good for kids, but for collectors, the Black Series stuff is what you want. But
Oh yeah, especially the few
I'm the
black.
6-inch guy,
Yeah,
6-inch.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the if I don't have many, but if I do buy black inch figures, it's usually 6-inch ones.
Yeah, it's
Superior to the smaller ones.
yeah, it's just it's a better more for your money because they're charging $14, $15 for a 3 3/4 inch. I'm like, why? I can get a full size 6-inch, thing for $10 sometimes even less. I did happen to pull up here. It was funny. We were talking about just a quick throwback to, Trans Siberian Orchestra. The first album was Christmas Eve and Other Stories, 3 times platinum. It sold 3.4 million copies.
That's pretty good. Holy
That was in
cow.
'96, and it was the last album they had that was available on cassette. So CD and cassette. '98, we had Christmas Addict. That was 2 times platinum, 1.9 million copies. Beethoven's Last Night, which I really love a lot, that went gold. It sold 500,000. That wasn't a Christmas album, though. That was just strictly a, what do you call it? Concept album, I guess. Lost Christmas Eve. That one was on 2004. That was their first album on Lava Records. That sold 2.3 million copies, 2 times platinum. So they got it back again.
that's cool.
Night Castle was the one. That one was released back on Atlantic again, so I think they might have been an offshoot of Atlantic, it looks like. But that's on vinyl and CD, so you get that on record. 1 million copies, that was platinum. And so their last album that they did, it was a smaller one. It was kind of like an EP type thing. Or whatever. It was like LP, EP, whatever. That was CD and digital. That was released in 2015. That only sold 300,000 copies. But again, it's a great album. That's a story about a guy who he was taken prisoner in Vietnam. He was a U.S. soldier. He was taken prisoner. And he managed to escape, I believe, but I have to, because every time like TSO would come out with an album, and even Sabotage later on in the early 2000s, they have a really, really thick booklet that tells the story behind the album, which is great. I love that. So there's another one called The Ghosts of Christmas Eve, and that's funny because it made the U.S. charts. Position 9 on the peak chart positions, 9 in the U.S. It was, and I don't think I have that album. It only sold 27,000 copies.
Wow,
that's pretty dismal. And I guess I missed that one. Oh, it's a soundtrack.
Oh boy.
And there's a compilation album that they released, and then, you know, so on and so on. They have another one called the Dreams of Fireflies on a Christmas Night. Hard Rock, number one on the Hard Rock charts, 2012, 344,000 copies. Here's the one I was talking about with, this was the start of those, it was the Christmas Eve / Sarajevo 1224. Yeah. That went gold, that album went gold. And that was the start of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra stuff, if I'm not mistaken. Because it's got Wizards in Winter, Nut Rocker, which is kind of funny name. So it's got that kind of stuff. So, yeah, very interesting. Yeah, Paul O'Neill was the driver behind that. He's not around anymore. Al Petrelli, who played for Megadeth for a few years. Longtime Alice Cooper guitarist, you know. He's good friends with, I think he's good friends with Derek Sherinian, actually. Because they played Alice Cooper together, I think.
Oh, that's cool.
I could be mistaken, though. Because it looks like... Yeah, he died in 2017. He was 61 years old. Wow, that's young.
Man, wow.
Wow. Died of chronic illness. Found him in a hotel room in Tampa, Florida.
Yeah,
looks like he looks like it's from an unexpected reaction to prescribed meds. Wow, per the Wikipedia. Oh, that's crazy. I didn't know this guy. I didn't know this guy was in such poor health. Wow. Just goes to show you. I mean, it's a rough life.
Take better care of yourself.
Yeah, I mean it. It's a rough, you know, when you know, a lot of these musicians and stuff, I mean, when they're in the entertainment business, I mean, you know, I think it's one of those things where, like, people, unless you're in it, you just don't know the kind of pressures they're under and the stress. There's contracts, because everything in music has a contract, and there's a lot of stress to fulfill those obligations and whatever, and I would hope that, like, I applaud the people that, whether it's either the movies or music, that they still have a love for the art. You know, despite all of the pressures of the contracts and the business. Because it's always sad when you hear, like, you'll hear someone, I know this has nothing to do with Thanksgiving, but it's like, we're going to wrap this up. But it's sad when you see people that, they say, you know, I started out loving being an actor, loving being a musician, and then the business got to me. And then they just quit. They don't do it anymore, they sell off all their stuff. They just leave it, and then, you know, and then, you know, some of these guys will have money just to live a normal life off royalties, which in this day and age, royalties are kind of a thing of the past. Those don't exist anymore. So you could be a top artist like Adele, or, you know, you know, some of these top artists, they might only sell 2 million copies because everybody streams now. They got Spotify and Apple Music and all that stuff, Amazon Music. Everybody streams now, and a lot of stuff, they'll just stream it for free. You don't even have to buy an album. So royalties, you know, it's a different deal now, and it's really, really hard to make a living off music. Most of the money's in merchandise, so... Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it looks like a lot of these guys, you know, they have trouble with the pressures of the business. They get, you know, stressed out, high blood pressure, and then they develop chronic problems. I mean, it's, you know, unfortunately. So, but anyway, yeah, so looks like it, pretty much they haven't put anything out since, you know, he passed away. So, because that was 2017. So, but I think, yeah. I would hope that people are going to be... I noticed that this year, people have actually put Christmas decorations out around here like 2 weeks ago. I've seen them.
Yeah, I remember there was like this discount store not too far from my place. They were selling Christmas tree before Halloween came around.
I know people think it's kind of stupid, but I think that like... I think people are putting out like lights and stuff earlier because... People are just, they need it. They need that, they need the holiday to kind of pull them out of the holiday blues, you know. I think that people are, in general, are just kind of bummed out, I think. I mean, that's what I see. When you see them putting decorations up, they, like, I need some lights and some color in my life. And the everyday humdrum, no decorations thing probably gets to them. They're like, you know what, maybe this year I'll do it just a week earlier or whatever, you know.
That's crazy.
And, I'm not talking about the retail stuff. I'm just talking about people that have stuff they already own, and they go and they just put it up because they want to have something fun, a change, is all I'm saying. And maybe it's their own personal house, you know. So people want to do that. That's great. I mean, I like it when you go to like a winery. You go to like a winery or like a nice restaurant or something, and they've got lights hung up, like just plain white LEDs. I think that's cool, you know. It's a different thing. It's not so boring and dark and whatever. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I think it's kind of a, it kind of shows you, I think people need, they need to have something else. And they're, I think that people, you know, just the way, you know, things are at this point in time, I think it bums people out. So, I think they're needing that. They're showing a need for something a little more lighthearted, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But anyway, yeah. So that's all I'm going to have for this one. You got anything else to add, Ponch?
Have plenty of turkey, just no jive turkey.
Yeah, no jive turkey. Yeah.
There ain't no place for that here.
Yeah.
But no, it's... Well, we talked about before how we're going to spend our Thanksgivings and, you know, it's whichever way people like to spend it. Hopefully it's with company or good company or people you like to spend your time with. And even if people spend it by themselves for whatever reason, hopefully it's they still manage to have a positive, yeah, just somehow have a good day out of it. So.
Yeah, for those of you that may have people that are overseas or in the military or whatever, or you've got, you know, you're kind of on your own and, you know, you don't have a lot of friends or you may be a family or whatever left, you know, this episode's for you guys, you know.
So hopefully.
What's that?
Hopefully.
We hear you, we know you're out there, and when it seems like no one else really gives a crap, we care, so... You know, I'm just throwing it out there. So, yeah, we didn't do any fancy movie watch-alongs or any festive stuff. And no honey hams here. I don't eat any meat that you have to use a key to open up a egg-shaped can.
No spam roasts?
No. I'll skip the gelatinous funk that is the...
Oh, man.
Christmas with the cranks, anyway.
Yeah, but just hope everybody has a cool Thanksgiving, and please pass out from all the tryptophan they eat. It's great.
Yeah, stay safe on the roads, for crying out loud. That too. Jeez. A lot of crazy people out there, man. Jeez. So, anyway. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, everybody, you have a great Thanksgiving. And again, catch us on Audio Boom as our main host, Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher, all the other major streaming outlets. We're not on Amazon yet. We're not on Spotify yet, but maybe we will be at some point, you know. So anyway, you guys have a good one, and we'll see you next time. Yeah.